You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Ah, come on.
Dude.
I just gotta... Before we even start, get in there, bro.
Okay. It's when a professional does it. It sounds a little better.
It did feel different, right? I was like, I've never done it that way before. Yeah.
We're not musicians, no. So we don't really know. We like, right. You know.
This is all we can play with is these eight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my day job. Yeah.
No, but that voice you're hearing is
a legend.
A legend of the game. I mean,
New York legend.
Been on the show in the past.
Stuyvesant High School legend.
During
yeah. Queens legend.
During COVID, right? In the lockdown, he was on our show. We were talking. Some footy, and at the time, music wasn't, you know, the main focus.
It was in the past,
exactly.
You know, now
we're talking past tense.
Everything getting redone. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And we had to bring back a straight legend in the game
because the album is dropping. So
yeah, y'all caught me during my flop era, but I'm in my flow state now.
That was your hibernation, bro. Now you're in your flow state, ladies and gentlemen. The voice you're hearing, the one, the only, Himanshu Suri, aka.
Cooling
ass,
buddy.
Hey! Yo. No one's ever done that before.
We didn't know we could combine them like that.
Oh, that's how it's going to get done for no one.
You didn't even know what it was.
What was it?
It slapped.
It's the cooling ass, buddy.
It's, just, yeah. it's the old
it's a Dominican
the,
uncle.
Yeah, Cuban. Yeah. Cuban.
It's your uncle.
Yeah.
It's Dan Levitard's dad. But yo, it's perfectly relevant for this show. That was amazing. Heems, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
man.
Thank
Welcome.
You for having me.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Look, we can. There's a million places to begin, but I did mention the last time we spoke to you, you know, obviously people are not aware of Heems's career. Das Racist is how I was introduced to you. The first time we never met in person, but the first time I saw you was it might have been Littlefield. I don't remember where it was, but you were opening for or closing the show for Hari Kondabolu.
Oh, really?
Hari Kondabolu,
yes.
A friend
People
of mine.
Forget this. There's a combo here.
Comedian
there's a connection.
And Hari's brother.
Yeah.
Was a part of Das Racist.
Yeah.
And so that's the first time I ever saw you. This must have been 2009, maybe 2010. And so I was like, oh, this is dope. This is like, you know. And then I started following your career, and it was all incredible. And then obviously, Das Racist breaks up. I'm like, and you know, I've always saw you online and stuff like that. But then when we spoke to you.
But I was saying, like, Das Racist broke up, Desus and Mira broke up. Please don't break up.
Nah, we here, bro.
No.
We'll never let you down, kids.
me and Alexis's wife are the only two people that can tolerate this.
I take him in doses.
We've gone on trips across the pond together.
Yeah, we're travel buddies.
Yeah.
Just me and Alexis's wife receiving like a Medal of Freedom.
Purple Heart. It's a scratch and sniff. Like, just shut up, Alexis.
They've been through so much. But yeah. So the music wasn't a huge part of your life at the time when we spoke to you.
You needed some time away, but you're back.
Yeah. Now you're back.
What did Marshawn Lynch say? To protect your mentals?
Yeah.
Protect your chicken?
To protect your chicken.
Yeah, so it took some time. I was still, like, doing work in music. I was, you know, at, like, DSPs like Spotify and doing A&R shit and just kind of trying to give other people a platform. But, yeah, I'm back, you know? I wanted to see if it's like riding a bike, if I could still do it. And turns out I can.
You put bars together and just sort of wrapped into your phone on Instagram going back a couple months. That was like your first. Was that the first time you put some bars together? Do you remember this?
Yeah, I never like do or did like short form. The first time was when MF Doom died.
Yeah.
I did a little freestyle, but I knew I had like material coming up. And I know like now, you know, I talked about this when I was in Das Racist, it was like blog era. Sweatshop Boys was more like playlist, and now it's a lot of short form. So I started doing like little videos around New York and Queens, rapping into the camera. I kind of hate that shit. I kind of hate that. Like as a musician now, you have to like make a lot more content.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I just want to chill at home.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. When we started stand-up, you got on stage and told jokes. Now they're like, how good are you at producing about 40 videos a week?
Yeah. Like, what's your crowd work like?
Yeah, exactly.
And now, like, everybody talks to you during the show. I'm like, shut the fuck up, man.
You can't get them to shut up anymore.
What do you think this is? This isn't a conversation.
Yeah, no.
I don't like talking to my friends. Why would I like talking to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I came up here to tell you what I wrote. I don't need to know what you're thinking.
We're looking at...
You're on the radar, on the which radar, is huge.
Which was dope. And I always... I had tweeted at you because you had... one of the lines was I forgot. You mentioned Yocasta, which is a Dominican name, Yocasta.
Yeah, what are your top five Dominican names?
Okay, so
let's go cousins only, because I'm sure you already got them.
Yocasta, I have a Yocasta. I just give, you know, my cousin name of friends. I mean, shout out to everyone I'm mentioning, obviously. Yocasta, yeah, my dear cousin.
No, but even
Yogi.
Like names
we call it Yogi.
Even names you heard that like aren't relatives. Y'all get creative with the names.
Why names are also very popular in Cuba? I have a Yadledli.
Yadledli.
Yeah. You can also, if you hold this one.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. What about like Puerto Ricans with Usnavi?
Usnavi. Yeah. Obviously, U.S. Navy.
Yeah. And you think that's not real? Trust me, there's a 48-year-old guy out there called Usnavi.
There's Celis. Names that end in Celis are very common in Dominicans. Belcalis is Cardi B. I have a friend that I went to like grade school with, Mari Celis. You can put any Jonas Celis, you can put anything, and Celis is a common Dominican suffix that you can use for a lot of names.
Bro.
I'm trying to think of more.
I don't know. If Cubans were waiting in line, right? Like, you wait in line. Why would you? It would be your last name. There's so many names with Y. I guess it just comes from the Russian influence.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. When you meet a Latino named Vladimir.
I have a Vlad in my family as well.
Multiple.
Yocasta's brother. Twin brother.
You got a Yocasta and a Vladimir? Yeah.
Sounds like a UN meeting. Yeah.
But this is what I love. And, you know, and because here in these bars, and you are Queens through and through. I was born.
You know, so New York.
I was born in Elmhurst Hospital and grew up in Brooklyn. But when I hear you rap, it makes me feel like I'm getting a hug from the five boroughs. Right? There is a
so nice
three. Can we be honest? Three boroughs.
Okay. Yeah.
Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Salies.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Four boroughs.
Staten Island, Salies. Yeah. There's all, you can add it to that.
Staten
Island,
yeah, yo, the On The Radar shit was mad funny because, you know, I pull up there and it's like a, you know, kind of like a mainstream rap thing. Like, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know,
it's American Fire in the Booth.
Yeah, basically.
If you got bars on here, your career kind of hits big.
And I think it blew up when Drake and Central C did it.
Yeah. Combination.
So I was going to say combination and do like a little riff on Pizza Hut, but yeah. I forgot. But it was really funny because I was in there and this guy was like, so are you like a manager or a producer? And I was like, no, I'm the rapper. I do the rap. You know? And like the comments are mad funny because they're all racist. They're like, you know, this is the guy that sells me Dutchies or this is the guy that is like at 7-Eleven. And then they're also like, yo, he's pretty good actually. Like he was sliding, you know? So yeah, it was cool.
It's weird to have to sort of try to like convince younger folks that, yeah, you got this. Isn't that kind of weird?
I don't really like care about convincing people that I could rap anymore. I really used to. I felt like, you know, I said this before, I felt like an outsider sometimes. Like, he's too Indian, he's too indie, you know, he's too funny.
Yeah.
And like now I'm just like, no, I can do this, you know, and I don't really care what you think.
That had to go away during like the Nehru Jackets era, because you were so...
I think LaFander will do it. I think the album out February 16th will do it. Because it's not just me, it's also like...
What date?
February 16th. Okay. That'll be in the past, right?
Yeah. So it's out right now.
Yeah, because I think, you know, what was really cool is I kind of got like, I didn't want to ask people, like, can you produce this? Can you get on this? And, like, during my depression phase, I was just kind of hiding away. And then with this, like, everyone I hit up was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I was like, that also, like, validation from your peers is, like, more important than what fans think. And so, you know, with this album, I feel like I got this out of the way. I can rap. And now with the second album in May, I'll just do whatever I want.
I find it odd.
By the way, we just We just found out there's a second album coming. Okay. That's pretty crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
I find it odd the criticism to tell a rapper that they're too funny. Imagine telling a comedian that. Like, it's just not really.
Imagine you tell a comedian, hey, your joke rhymed. Don't ever do that.
It's kind of stupid because, like, rap was funny. Like, a lot of people were funny. Like, Albie Shore, Biz Markie,
yeah.
Even Kanye a little bit. So it's really like a tool in the arsenal of what like rappers yeah, yeah. do. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Kanye's material has not been great recently.
No, I'll be honest. He needs to work on that.
Not as funny.
Not nearly as much.
You mentioned Arsenal though, so yeah. Let's get to it. When first time we had you on the show, you were wearing an Arsenal kit.
Mm.
Since that time, not only has this man gotten back on the saddle for rap, but we've actually went and seen a North London derby together.
With, like, really good seats.
Yeah, incredible seats. So the story's pretty cool. I'll let you tell your experience. But I got my tickets through, like, a plug who has a bunch of season tickets from older fans who've, you know, moved out of the London area or whatever. And this man, like, watches over them all. And he has, like, a little notebook that he manages which ticket is going to who.
He sees that he looks at everybody's healthy. Like, yo, you looking a little sick. Maybe you might not be wanting to come in the game.
Your seat's going to be 6 feet away from mine. But this man, you have to be a true Arsenal fan to somehow be connected with this guy. So I found out about him through a friend. Shouts to Samurai. You know who you are.
Yeah.
So he's like, bro, I got the tickets. And I'm like, all right, where are they? He's like, no, we got them. I'm like, yeah, but where are they? He's like, no, we got him. Then I'm getting texts from him. He's like, bro, I'm spending a lot of money to come out there. And at that point, you were trying to figure out how to make it a work trip, but that didn't work out. So you're like, yo, I'm putting this all out of pocket. Like, you sure you got the tickets? I'm like, bro, I'm being told 100%. If not, I'm going to figure out how to get you in the stadium. Don't worry about it. You ain't going to waste your time. But we didn't know until we got there. You pulled up to this, like, nice old man's house.
Yeah.
He looked like the plug. He had a kitchen table full of all the cards and notebooks.
I mean, it was a lot of faith. Like, it was like, you'll find out 2 weeks before the event, like, for sure, but we're good. And then I thought the match was in, like, the afternoon. And so I get there, and I got to go straight from Heathrow to Emirates, go to this guy's house around the block from fucking Emirates.
It's literally a block and a half away from the stadium where this guy lives.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, his wife, like, this guy's a crazy Arsenal fan. He lives there. I'm just like, I wonder, like, I talked to her more than him about, like, what do you think of his appreciation for, like, Arsenal, you know? How's your marriage, you know?
Yeah.
And then we went, and we were, like, 15 rows behind goal. And that was my first Premier League match.
Wow. It's
fucking crazy, man.
North London Derby. Favorite.
And I dipped the next morning.
3-1. So you went, I think you did end up having a meeting where you connected with somebody. And then we went out to dinner. We went to Dishoom.
Yeah.
Which was dope.
Which I've been to.
Yeah, Dishoom is incredible. Yeah. We ate a little bit, and I was like, so what are you doing the rest of the time you're here? He goes, I leave. Like, pretty much, I go to bed and leave. And I was like, you flew here for an Arsenal match, dinner, and go home?
Yeah, I'm not, like, normally that flexy, but that was pretty flexy, yeah.
That was a heavy flex.
And at that game, I saw, like, 4 people from, like, when I worked at Spotify, like, sitting in the area. Like, we ran into mad people there, too. It was an event.
Well, the owner of Spotify is, like, an Arsenal fan, right?
He was trying to buy it. I think at the time he was trying to buy it.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, but we saw Stith.
Okay.
I was like, yo, Stiff. And he was like drunk. He's like, yo, he comes up, gives me a hug. I'm like, yo, you remember that group, Das Race? He's like, of course. I was like, remember Heems? He's like, from Queens? And I look over and he's standing there, oh, shit. He's just like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Like, I'm kind of incognito. Like, nobody, like, to my face will know what I am. And I just get to move around like that. You
if
know?
You put the scarf over your head, which I think is the iconic photo of you, you know what I mean? Then people.
You know what else it was? I was thinking about this today. Like, our first press photos with Das Racist, like, Victor had this really bright, like, thrift shop kind of, like, sweater, like a Kooji on. And so everybody kind of associated us with, like, hipster fashion. So I never got, like, free clothes, and I really hated that. And, like, now I think I dress, like, a lot better. And now I get free clothes that I like.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's a little different, too, because and I think I lost weight and shit. And then, you know, I think, like, me being Indian, I pretend to be Dominican or Italian or, like, whatever I want.
Yeah.
So you got all the fan bases.
I just move around, you know?
He pulls up, que lo que, at the bodega.
You already know. Ya tu know. You already sabe.
Yeah. What does that mean for you to really represent being Indian in hip-hop, which hasn't traditionally really kind of not accepted or had that representation in it?
Yeah, man. You know, I stopped making music for, like, 5 years, and then, like, people started calling me, like, OG or, like, GOAT. So now I kind of feel like this elder statesman of, like, the South Asian scene. But, you know, what was funny, I mean, I grew up in Queens. Like, basketball and rap were like all around us. And, you know, people would be like, what do you know about rap? And then, you know, like there was this period when like Eric Sermon was sampling Indian stuff. Dr. Mm-hmm. Dre was sampling Indian stuff. Like Timbaland was sampling Indian stuff. So there's always this, you know, kind of flirtation with each other. But I think now, especially in India, bro, there's a huge rap scene going on. So I don't know. My thing isn't really like, if you're from Queens, you know how Indian people do in a way that like other people might not. So if you're from Queens, it's not strange that an Indian dude raps. But otherwise, you might be like, what the fuck? And the thing is, like, now the stereotype of Indians is like, you know, doctor, CEO. And I think like the community worked really hard to make that like how we are. But yo, we're still driving Ubers. We're still working at gas stations. We're still working at convenience stores. And like the community kind of looks at that like dirty laundry. But that's like kind of the reality that I'm around. So
it's real life.
It makes sense to me to be a rapper, like, you know. But still, yeah, I've been doing it for a while. Almost like 15 years now.
What's India's reggaeton? Do you have one?
I mean, Punjabi music, I feel like, and you know, when I worked at Spotify and AudioMac, I did this, like I worked with the Urbana and like reggaeton people, with the Afrobeats people. Punjabi music, I think, has that kind of like urban element, and you know, the production is pretty catchy, and I think it belongs alongside reggaeton and Afrobeats. And a lot of the lyrics are about like Facebook and Gucci, and like there's a lot of like, you know, referencing that shit.
Two very luxurious items.
Yeah. So we only got one of those too.
You know, I love that you hear Afrobeats and like Dembo on Hot 97. Yeah. So we're waiting for our moment. For now, it's still that Punjabi MC song with Jay-Z. Like,
that's it.
That still in that Dev Patil Monkey Man trailer. Like, we can't get rid of that, but, you know, I hope it pops off. But our like really good guy, Sidhu Moosewala, got shot and killed. He was working with like Burna Boy and a lot of people.
Yeah, he was Canadian, right?
I mean, the scene is kind of in Canada. Like, Brampton, Mississauga, and then like Surrey over on that coast.
There's one with the S. What's the, I forget the name of the section of the town. Starts with an S. Well, anyway. But he was, what happened? It was like a weird story with him, right? Like his security was like pieced out on him.
Yeah, like the politicians from the other party removed security for a lot of people affiliated with this other party. But it might have been some gang shit. He was getting into politics. So it was really sad. But, you know, I think it takes like one person to open the gate for genre explosion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Bad Bunny's one. But we kind of looked at that stuff as like the Despacito kind of opened the doors. Or if you go back, you know, there was
Gasolina.
Ricky Martin. Yeah, Gasolina. But then there was also like J-Lo, Ricky Martin. And there were always flirtations with Latin music. But it's so close that it makes sense. And now Afrobeats, I think, is really interesting to see how that is kind of becoming more mainstream. But let's see. Hopefully there'll be some more Punjabi music. And like I said, like 5 years ago, that's what I was doing at Spotify, trying to make that music blow up, not just for the diaspora, but for Western audiences. But yeah, fuck with that shit.
Yeah, I follow a lot of, or at least what comes up on my TikTok is a lot of like language stuff. As soon as I turned on like, you know, to see content in Spanish, obviously you just are seeing stuff just from all over the world. But one thing I found interesting that I didn't really know about is that the similarities between Hindi and Spanish, that there's a lot of words that really derive from Hindi, or they share some, like the what's the word, how do you say shirt in Hindi?
Kameej.
Camisa.
Yeah, I think like the...
In fact, I want to say kameej instead. It's so much better.
The like Sanskrit and Latin languages are kind of very similar, but you know what else it is? Like when I speak Spanish, like people, I only speak a little bit, but the accent is similar too. It's like soft D's, soft T's, right. And so there's a lot of that going on too.
Yeah. That's wild.
And like, put our arms together, look.
Yeah. We look like a, hold on, if I go like, put yours, if I go like that, then that's
that's the gradient.
That is wild. I never thought of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of connections. I mean, I think there's a fascinating thing. I mean, Alexis brought up just like being Indian and being a rapper, but it's like, I guess growing up in New York, it's not weird that you're Indian and a rapper, but it's also, like I said, like your even style, right? I'm listening to the new album. I'm just like, yes, it does feel like an older time of rap, but there's something to it that feels like home, that feels familiar. And I think that we're sort of in this, I don't know, cycle of like, I don't know, we've heard the same Metro Boomin beat. We're like, we know what that's
triplets
like.
Triplets is a little done.
I mean, we're there. I mean, it's perfectly fine, and I can consume it and enjoy it, but it's so overwhelmed, I think, what hip-hop sort of sounds like now that it's just, I mean, it's frankly refreshing to hear an album like yours.
Yo, I think, like, underground or independent rap is consistently good and getting better, and, like, you know, Griselda, Rock Marciano, Alchemist, there's, like, a wave of popularity, and mainstream music is, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. You know? That's why Yachty's making like psych rock and shit, because it's not as interesting right now. So
it really isn't.
I'm excited to see like when what will happen next in like mainstream rap to make it more interesting, you know?
I find myself listening a lot more to Rap UK. That playlist. A lot more than I am Rap Caviar.
Yeah.
Or as Siri calls it, Rap Caviar, which I absolutely hate. But it's kind of confusing me because I'm like, bro, like I thought, all right, Atlanta has it right now, but it'll come back to New York. And now it just seems like it's global. It's a full thing. So to what you were talking about, it feels like Punjabi music will just have its own lane in no time. In fact, I want to ask you from someone who came from, when you started, you were selling physical CDs, right? When y'all started?
Yeah, we used to put the CDs in like Mishka clothing, and that was kind of our distribution model because like I didn't want to pay like Green Lantern 10 stacks, I think. So I was like, let me give it to a clothing brand and get it to people like that. But yeah, we had CDs and
now it's all streaming. Is it that different? Because comedians, we talk about like, oh, we got to load clips and we got to do that, and the world looks different. It's got to be dramatically different, or is it just I make the music?
Nah, but
it's
the only difference is how it gets out. What's interesting, I think, is that vinyl is like coming back in a big way. And, you know, I just pressed the Das Racist mixtapes on vinyl. I think there's like a reactionary element to streaming not being tangible where people want to hold something in their hand. Mm-hmm. And so vinyls become more popular. I think also people want to display vinyl in their home. You know, my like the marketing work I do for music, it's always like, what music, like, what would make you want to show this song you like to, like, the girl or guy you have a crush on? So, like, you see a lot of people trying to be cultured by having vinyl displayed in their home. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, I think record players becoming cheaper now on, like, Amazon and shit are kind of pushing this boom of vinyl. And,
see, how am I gonna show this British, this UK drill song to Natalie Portman? You know, how am I going to, how would I explain that to her?
Yeah, got to put it on a t-shirt, you know.
Over here now.
Yeah, sitting on the corner. The
security's dragging me away.
Yo, why Natalie Portman?
That was just a name that popped in my head. It was a whole LAFC thing, that's the only reason.
Yeah, I think she's from Syosset, which is like the town next to mine. Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, everyone in Syosset looks like Natalie Portman.
Okay. Word. Okay. We got to go to Syosset. No, I'm kidding.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I just want to ask because you on the album you have a song called Bukayo Saka.
Yeah.
And so obviously we have to talk about that influence. Maybe even just was the title of the song first, or you wrote the lyrics then but it's
always like, I gotta figure out how to get Bukayo Saka.
I had a song called Obi Toppin too.
We talked about that.
And that now I think it's called Obi Toppin. And now like every that verse was like all the Knicks players' names were like, you know, weaved into the verse, and then they all got traded. So like I don't want to do a video for that.
Right.
But I think I stole that line of right wing and Bukayo Saka, either from Tosin or Aaron West, like they tweeted it.
Okay.
And I thought it was funny. I do like the whole verse, and I write it like really quickly, because like I'm lazy and don't like to do things, and I don't like sitting still. And then I name them often from like one line in the song. And I like obviously Bukayo Saka is like my favorite player, but I also think it's good marketing to just like, you know, I'm like, maybe he'll tweet it. You know?
That's the move.
You write songs and then those players get sold or traded, did you not write a song called Bukayo Saka?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's you know, you gotta,
you gotta write a song called Mbappe so he comes to us, bro.
Oh, shit. Now, my next song is called Luke Shaw Loves Bukayo Saka.
I have
a crush on how Luke Shaw has a crush on Bukayo Saka. Like,
same.
Like a dad crush, though.
Yeah, he's such a good boy.
Yeah, he speaks everybody so fondly of him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you used to not see that across team lines.
I mean, there have been a couple very popular songs of names of footballers.
Mbappe is one of them.
Thiago Silva.
Yeah, that one I think
is really like the main,
biggest one.
Dave, right?
That's Dave and AJ Tracy.
AJ Tracy. So there is sort of a trend where this is like really like dope. But there's something about let's talk about just your support of Bukayo Saka. I mean, I'm not an Arsenal fan, but there's something even while I'm watching press conferences of this young man, I'm just like, they call him the star boy, but there's something to his like innocence of like, how is he not affected by this multi-million-dollar contract, this fame, this pressure that
is. And he's young.
And he's young. And he represents England. There's clearly so much that could kind of derail his career. But it really just doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely better than every player on Everton. So we can get that out of the way.
I mean, you're not going to get a counterpoint from me?
Yeah.
I mean,
not this season. I don't know. He's Nigerian, right?
Yeah.
So he feels like familiar in this way that like West Indian and African and Indian people are. And like, you know, he did all his schooling, you know, he just seems like humble, grateful, just like nice. But then everybody says he's also got this like smirky kind of sense of humor that is either like really intelligent or like, you know, kind of goes over people's heads. So, yeah, I hope he doesn't change his. And even if he does, I'll still support him. You know,
You know who he is? He's the kid that of your friend group that your mother was like, why can't you be more like them? Like, listen to their mom. But yet you still like them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't annoy you.
No. I mean, I think he could be, what is it, good at school and good at cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, which is what, like,
that's bars right
that's
there.
What I want to be. That's what, like, that's the ideal kind of personality, you know?
Yeah, there's something to, every time I watch Bukayo Saka and the last few years, there's something about, like, I just hope, you know, a woman doesn't ruin him. You know what I mean? Like, you just like want him to be safe.
Keep
in every
the thoughts away from him.
I just want to be safe in every aspect of his life.
Yeah, either money or women will probably do it.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like when he did the blonde thing, he changed it back really quickly
because he didn't play well.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, now you can't flex like that, dog.
Yeah, he just seems like family oriented.
Yeah.
Like he
goes antiquing after the matches.
He shovels his neighbors fucking snow and shit. Yeah. You know. He helps old ladies cross the street.
His neighbors are also rich, though. They're like, hey, we can afford that.
Yeah, we don't need you to do that.
We don't need you to do that. Please don't get hurt.
I insist.
No, I shall help your
you
help.
You got a game tomorrow, bro. No.
What if now you've
I feel
added,
like he might secretly volunteer at a hospital 100%. On the weekends.
He's wearing a shiesty so no one knows.
At a food kitchen with a shiesty on.
Yeah.
How can I help written on it?
Yeah. I feel like maybe he skateboards. You know, 100%. He's like the coolest guy.
But he wears elbow pads and knee pads.
He makes elbow pads really cool.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of think I should.
He really prioritizes safety.
Yeah.
And like other people do it because he does. Right. You know what I mean?
He actually volunteers. Tears at skate parks handing out knee pads and elbow pads.
And he's like older than the kids, but they don't think he's creepy.
It's so cool. He comes back to the high school, but we like him.
He probably cares about the environment.
100%.
Maybe he's vegan.
We talk about the world is a little different now, right? Streaming is different. The money that comes from streaming is a little different than traditional albums. So a lot of rappers, they open up multiple streams of income.
Mm.
You've done that with coconut oil.
Mm.
Talk to me about Vina, bro.
Yeah, everybody's West Indian these days. You got to have, like, multiple hustles, you know?
You about to do CMOS after this, bro.
I'm doing turmeric next.
Yeah, let's go.
So I haven't, like, really said this, but the reason coconut oil, I started a brand that kind of, you know, encapsulates, like, all the things I care about, like design, commerce, get that out of the way, commerce, music, fashion, and, like, health and food. And coconut oil, I saw white people making mad money off turmeric and ashwagandha, and I was like, I want some of that guap. And, like, that's really what it is.
You're like, we let them have yoga, but the line stops.
Yeah, that's where we draw the line, you know? You got yoga, you got paisley, you know, you got turmeric.
Right.
And, like, coconut oil is this amazing thing that you can use in so many different ways. I think white people do mouth pulling now. It's like...
oil pulling, which oil pulling. It's like a way to cleanse your mouth. Instead of using, like, mouthwash, it's apparently it's more natural more effective.
Mad, like, 20 minutes or something in their mouth, and it's mouth health, it whitens your teeth.
You put what in your mouth for 20
coconut
minutes?
Coconut oil.
Oh, coconut oil.
But they say, like... I see constant videos of people like, oh, I went to the dentist, and they said, I had... 5 cavities, and I had to get it fixed over time. And then they did the oral pulling, and they're like, all right, I don't got no cavities anymore. And,
yeah,
and I mean, dentists are like, no, that's not possible. They're like, I don't know. They're gone.
Pulls out a drill. We'll figure this out.
Yeah, we don't need
we'll
that.
Get to the bottom of this.
Get rid of that oil. Give me your insurance card.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, it's wild. I think it's
I got to pull all your teeth. I'm so sorry.
It's
so
like,
sorry.
It's like some goop shit, you know, like the Gwyneth Paltrow set. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yo, you could cook with it. Put it in my hair. Like, I grew up with my mom putting it in my hair. And
when,
like,
okay, so we just showed the video of this happening. Mm. This feels a little bit like getting your hair braided on the stoop. Like, my homies' moms would braid their hair. This has, the way you framed the image.
That was the reference point, yeah.
But when was this part of your culture? When do you get, is this a morning thing?
No, even now, like, thing? Childhood. Like,
no, but like at night, in the morning, when do you get?
I don't know if it's like time specific. I definitely associate it more with childhood. But even like old people, like there used to be guys walking down the street going like tel malish, like oil massage, and vendors would do it. But I don't know if it's a specific time.
Oh, okay. This
but
is
you
like
know how Indians got
thing.
That good hair?
The facts.
It's because of that. And then what else? Hair care, skin care. It's good in like bath. You come out, your shit feels so nice.
You could cook with it. Did you mention that?
Yeah. It says on the bottle. And I do some cooking.
So it's food grade.
Yeah, it's FDA approved. And, you know, I say one for the kitchen, one for the bathroom, and one for the bedroom.
Hey! Wait a minute. What would you? Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
You can eat it off of anything.
Damn. You can put it on different hair.
I speak from experience. You know?
No, my wife is a nutritionist. Mm. My wife is white. I have a white wife.
Yes. Yes.
Also a nutritionist. Coconut oil is a
well,
big
hold on. She's a... White what? I also have a white wife, by the way.
But she...
this one.
But she... coconut oil has been a part of my life, essentially, for the last decade. As far as...
It, same here, by the way. My wife uses it on everything.
Lot of different uses and usage. So, all right. Now, I got to pick up some Vina, okay? So
hell yeah. It's Vina.nyc.
Vina.nyc, named after your mom.
Yeah, my mom's.
Nice. Vina, a nickname, or that's her full name?
No, that's her name, but it's also the name of a musical instrument from India that, like, the goddess of music and learning holds in her hands.
Bro, that's so good. Yeah. I mean, how do you not buy this now?
Yeah, and white people could pronounce it.
So. Yeah, that was a big one.
So that was, like, part of it.
That was a big one.
Yeah. That is crucial. So, yeah, look, so the new album.
I just want to say, by the way, if someone is going to buy it, there's, like, you go through your Instagram, they can see pictures of you at, like, the coconut farms in India. You went. You did the whole thing.
Yeah, I moved my hands like this, like a startup guy doing a TED Talk.
A lot of that?
Yeah.
Bro, Dex, you had Dex pulled out. I mean, you literally did the job of going and finding.
What, like a presentation deck?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm a doc guy. I use a document. I don't know how
you
to make
docs?
A deck. Yeah.
All right, if we scroll to line 8 of my.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is crazy. I mean, you're clearly working hard, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, shout out Avery Truffleman from Articles of Interest. I did this podcast where we, like, did a real deep dive into Paisley and the history of Paisley. And then I was trying to do the brand identity, which I did all the brand identity. And then I was like, you know, Paisley is something Eastern in origin, but Western. And it's my little Paisley tattoo. So I incorporated it here. But, yeah, I went to India. I went to the factory. It's an all-natural process. It's organic. And I went to the farms down south, met with the farmers, wanted to make sure they weren't, like, being taken advantage of. And now I sell coconut oil.
That's amazing.
You're like, it's me, Heems from New York. I'm buying all your oil.
Yeah, and then I think in May, I have another album coming out called Vina, and I'm going to do more drops, so more T-shirts, also scarves and shawls with Paisley, and more vinyl. But then I'm doing turmeric, pink rock salt, and jaggery, which is like unrefined sugar.
Yeah.
So I hope to continue bringing like these healthy Ayurveda products, organic from India, and selling them to white people and brown people.
Yes. Bro, like 5 more albums, you're going to have like the Heems like vegan bodega.
Yeah, like the white people will buy it because they see brown people using it.
Yeah.
And the brown people will buy it because they see white people using it.
Okay, it feeds itself.
We influence each other.
But yeah, like a cafe would be the dream, right? Like a place where we use our products to make food, but we also sell vinyl and then some of the clothing.
Also, chill music in a cafe.
We curate vinyls and shit.
I gotta connect you with my wife. This is like great. She can recommend this to her patients and stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
Look at this. It's a business meeting.
Yo,
now.
Thank you for all the plugs, man.
Of course.
I didn't have shit to sell last time.
So. Bro, we're like Turkey. We got none of the plugs for you, bro.
Now Heems is
it's a
full,
good joke no one will get.
Heems is a full-on capitalist now. Yeah. Business owner.
Came in with a cigar.
Hey, see, this is how you're talking about, boy.
Yeah. I'm not late. The podcast starts when I get here.
Yeah. No, because I'm on Indian Standard Time. Color people time, yeah. And rapper time. So.
Yeah, dude.
Yo, I'm still early. I should have been 3 hours late.
That's facts.
Remember when we used to do our podcast at a radio station? Uh-huh. And I remember when, like, Migos showed up, like, they showed up late.
Yeah, like.
It was another show that was on in the same studio, but Migos showed up, and it was like, not only were they late, they just also didn't want to be there, had no interest. They were fairly high.
Yeah, they gave... the most lackluster interview. Not to us, thank God.
Yeah. It was us. But
we were just like, Migos are here? And they're like, physically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, I get it. I don't want to be nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be here, but I like y'all now. You know, this is cool. You know, we're talking. We're having a good time. Yeah. This is great. But I didn't want to be here. I just want to chill at home with my dog, you know?
That's gay. I feel you.
Yeah. I feel you. All right. So the album, February 16th, go get it. Anything in particular that you're excited about just... maybe outside, I mean, you know, obviously promoting an album, obviously it's not always the most fun thing to do, but are you excited to be on stage again, man, performing?
Nah, fuck no.
No.
You don't like shows?
I got to remember all the words from, like, my old shit and learn the new shit and I got to go through my notes or maybe, like, fans put it up. Nah, it's mad memorization and, like... now I got to do it sober and shit. I'm mad worried about it. Like, it's when you do it, it's nice and, like, muscle memory kicks in and there's energy and you feed off the crowd and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, you make these songs, like, alone because you're antisocial and introverted and, like, you know, weird and sensitive. And then you got to talk to people and shit.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm grateful that people come to the shows. But I don't want to do a lot of them for this album cycle. And that's kind of how you make... most of your money as an artist, because like you said, streaming doesn't really sell. But let's see what happens. I mean, I'm excited to teach at NYU this semester.
Come on.
What are you doing? Calculus? What are
you doing? No, I'm teaching, I'm teaching music streaming in global markets, like
okay.
How to do streaming apps in like Nigeria, Egypt, and India. And then, you know, is that colonialism or is decolonialization of... music possible, and what does that look like? And I don't know the answer. I want to talk to these like 19-year-old kids and see what they say.
No, that's a fascinating concept.
That's so dope.
I mean, there is a lot of. I think as I get older, you realize the and especially where we are in social media, the influence of you know whatever the celebrities or just or musicians or type of music. I saw Russ, the rapper Russ.
Yeah,
he was on Flagrant the other day, and he was giving an example of. Juice WRLD, that Juice WRLD, you know, overdosed on you know, I forgot what, but that he said that he was so influenced by Future, who would talk about doing lean and all these drugs and all this other stuff, and then Future doesn't actually do those drugs.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you have, you know, musicians or just anybody that can influence people to do something that they don't even do, that there's a lot of disingenuous stuff. So it's just about, like, the level of just, again, influence that there is that musicians or artists can really provide that can either be dangerous or also be incredibly inspiring. You see this in resistance movements. You see it with poets. You see it with everything. So it's just like that class sounds fascinating to me because there is kind of that, you know, I think we underestimate how influential music and then the business of music can be on a society.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, music kind of goes in hand with business and, you know, rappers have like record labels and stuff, but there are these other kind of pillars to stand on, whether it's academia or activism that, you know, I think like you have to do, your work has to be like more all encompassing. And that's why like commerce is one of the things I'm interested in with this company. But I try to stay in like music, business, activism, academia, and then like spirituality is another thing. So yeah, I mean, you know, Styles P has like a juice store where he makes like healthy juices. You know,
yeah.
I have a bar about that. And yeah, I think health and mental health and stuff are important. So I try to talk about them. And if that inspires people, great. It's not like why I do it. But, you know, I think like mental health is really taboo to talk about in our communities. And so if they put microphones in front of me, then, you know, that's what I do.
I love it. Heems, bro, seriously.
There's so much we could possibly talk to you about.
But yeah, I'll be back.
go listen. Go listen to the new album.
What's Lefandar mean?
Lefandar. So there's like an insult, Lefanga, and I think Lefandar is like the Britishized colonial version of it, but it means like a vagrant, a wanderer, like a vagabond. And my kind of thing is more like a flaneur, like a guy that just kind of walks around cities and takes everything in. So I was going to call it Kala Tikka, which is the name of a song. And Kala Tikka is when they put some dirt behind your ears so you don't get the evil eye for looking so good. But then I was like, that's too flexy. I gotta do something more self-deprecating. Well,
that did shift gears in the middle of it. Dirt by ear. I'm like, I wonder why they do that. Because you're too damn sexy.
Yeah. So, you know, I gotta stay self-deprecating a little bit.
In the Latin community, you had one of those, the black can that was like that? As a chain? Did you have that?
No, I don't.
In the Latin community, you get a black arm. It's from like the middle of the forearm up. And you have your thumb, I guess, in the middle of a fist. And that is to ward off the evil eye.
Yeah.
It's like a Santa Rita thing, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah. Every little Latin kid had one. You didn't have one?
I didn't have one.
Well, you might be haunted.
Yo, are the Latin kings still around?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, shout out the Latin kings. You know.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for everything y'all did in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all are still around. I do have one last question. You and I hung out on my birthday at the secret Indian dinner spot.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Like the Salon Supper Club.
Yeah, Salon Supper Club. Shouts to everybody out there. Had dinner with them recently. Dope crew. You kind of get around in the world in New York. You've been on Throwing Fits. You're in the fashion world. You're doing all this. I know you like to get down with some food, right? What's the best Indian dish that wasn't cooked by your moms that you've eaten recently that you want to put people on? And really me, I'm asking for me.
I don't know, man. No, it's funny you say I get around because I really don't leave my house on Long Island. Like,
but yeah, a lot of everyone knows you. And every time I'm like, oh yeah, you know my friend, he was here 2 weeks ago.
I didn't like pay money to be at the supper club. I just showed up to say what up and they gave me a plate for free. I felt mad cool. You know, I like.
By the way, I was like, do you guys know Heems? Like, do we know Heems? Do you know Heems? Call him up right now.
So yo, Kebabish in Jackson Heights has like a really good spicy chicken tikka. And it's like a low key hole in the wall spot. I think Action Bronson put it in something. But I like Indian tandoori barbecue and stuff.
Nice.
And that's one of my favorite things.
You know what's on my list out there? Angel. Have you been out there?
No, nah, I haven't been to Angel yet.
I want to go. Matt, we'll go together. How about that? Boom. Done. Okay. Everyone know Kebabish.
I'm not invited.
No, we'll go together. Miguelito's coming too.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Heems, thank you so much. Everybody, go check out the new album. Go follow Heems on Instagram at Nehru Jackets.
Album on every streaming service.
Yo, also, or don't, you know, just like.
Or, I mean, that's
we'll
not an option.
That out. We'll cut that out.
We're gonna have to bleep only that part of his interview.
Yeah, no, y'all do you.
Like, yeah,
okay. I'll be around.
Listen to it. You know what? You hit play and then put that little circle so that it keeps playing, and then go to bed.
Yo, also go to the olivetape.bandcamp.com. It's like a compilation album a lot of artists made where the proceeds from buying it at Bandcamp go to support humanitarian efforts in Gaza.
There you go. Okay, yeah, there we go. All right.
It's a beautiful thing.
All right, let's do it. Okay.
Yay!
Thank you so much. Heems, man, seriously.
One more time.
We got it. much appreciated, brother. Seriously, it means the world. Just to get you out of the house and the fact that you came
Look
here
at
means
us. Made you up on a train.
I'm gonna go home and skip out on my listening party tonight.
Don't do that.
I'll let you know if I don't go.
No, are you probably potentially not going?
I don't know, man. I'm tired, man.
No, don't do that. I'm going.
can't be that irresponsible, man. We can't be the voices
That's
of reason.
That's the most badass move,
though. I'll do some, like, MF Doom shit and send some other chubby Indian guy over to, like...
You know. Wearing an MF Doom.
Wearing a scarf, a Paisley scarf, obviously.
Or a shiesty that says, how can I help?
Yeah. I got the, what is it? I got an Arc'teryx shiesty, so
I'll just
do that.
Amazing. Heems, thank you so much, brother.
Yo, thank y'all, man. This is fun. I like talking to y'all.
You're the best.
Yeah.